This morning I woke up with a feeling of deja vu, which I guess is no surprise as it's my sixth time at this golf break. Now I know you would find that hard to believe if you witnessed me playing on the course yesterday. Oh, it's awful. However, this is no reflection on the wonderful coaching I've received from both Bernard and Patrick over the years. See, I know the theory, but it's constantly putting it into practice. That's my problem. A coach can only teach us, not take our shots for us. It'd be great, wouldn't it, if we had a difficult shot and we undid the golf bag and said, come on, Bernard or Patrick, get out and take the shot for me. But it doesn't happen, does it? Now, I have a love-hate relationship with golf. I love it when I put one straight down the middle or I get a birdie. But I hate it when I get a couple of 11s on my card, which happens too often. You know, it's the only game I get frustrated with. I nearly packed it up 6 years ago because my frustration started to change my character. Then I got a phone call from this guy called Bernard Firkins. Apparently, another PGA coach had heard me speak at a men's breakfast in Birmingham and, to my surprise, recommended me to Bernard to give the after-dinner talk on the very first clinic here at Sizewell. And when he phoned, I explained that I wasn't playing much golf due to my frustration, but was more than happy to drive up to Suffolk to speak. Now, although I never charge a fee for my ministry, travelling expenses are always welcome, especially with petrol being at £5 a gallon. Now, Bernard suggested that I brought my clubs with me and stayed for 3 days for no cost rather than pay my expenses. Well, that sounded a good deal to me. So that's how I met Bernard. And it was such a great deal that I even decided to pay the going rate for the break. If we do, don't we get such a great deal here? You know, my Christian journey is similar in many ways to my golf. I know what I should be doing, but fell so many times. Over 26 years since my Damascus Road type conversion, I've had some very good teaching, read many books, I've been on seminars, I've read the Bible, the main instruction manual time and time again. I've seen videos and even DVDs. Yet somehow I still get things wrong. The good news is that God is like Bernard and Patrick. He is patient with us, even when I go against all that I've been taught. God, too, has a love-hate relationship. Not with golf, but with us. He hates the sin, but he loves us, the sinner. As we play out life's tapestry, he wants the best for us. He wants us to live and work to his glory, to have a life of joy and fullness. You see, he's not a killjoy. His instructions to us are for a better life. For example, if any one of the Ten Commandments is broken, someone gets hurt. The first four, God gets hurt. The next six, we or someone else suffers. You know, do not commit murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. Do you get my point here? Now, as an evangelist, in theory, and my desire is I want to practice what I preach. But in reality, like my golf, I go way off beam into the rough. I've just taken several years out of my ministry because I was struggling with areas of my life that I knew were wrong. Satan was winning too many rounds. However, during this time, I know that God never abandoned me. Like Bernard and Patrick, he wants us to do well. He wants us to win the game. One thing that I've learned is the closer we get to God, the more effective we are for him, the more vulnerable we are to attack. It's a bit like when we have a great game and they think, yeah, at last I've cracked it. You know, this game of golf is easy. But that's till the next time we play. Now, during my self-inflicted sabbatical, I've done much soul-searching. It's been hard and it's been painful. But I've also learnt many lessons. One of which is sometimes we try too hard and we beat ourselves up when we fail. Last year I took part in the Christian National Golf Competition qualifying rounds at Three Rivers Golf Course, Essex. As I effortlessly teed off at one hole after not such a good round so far, those around it were shouting out things like, you've done it, get in the hole! Not knowing that it was nearest to the pinhole. Bernard was there, giving the after dinner talk, and he presented me with the nearest to the pin trophy. See, Bernard, all your coaching paid off. I want to finish with two true stories. When I first started to play golf, I was really keen as mustard, and I wanted to improve. So I put a net up at the bottom of my garden, which is a reasonable length, really, considering I live on the outskirts of London. And there I was sort of knocking these balls into the net down the bottom of my garden. And I went down to pick them up, and I thought, well, I don't know, perhaps I'll just do a little chip back towards the house. Now, my kitchen window is about 10 foot by 5 foot double glazed. Yes, you've guessed it, my little chip goes flying full power towards my kitchen window. Smash! Yes, it broke. And you know, it was strange because Maggie and I get on so well. She's so calm, really. We never really argue. But I was dreading her coming home because I'd done something absolutely stupid, absolutely reckless. And the problem was that we were going away 2 days after this on holiday for 2 weeks. And I thought, oh, the house is going to be insecure. So I started to panic a bit, you know. Anyway, I thought, well, I'd better phone up the double glazing people, see if I can get anything done about this. So I phoned up and I said to the bloke, you know, I've been such a prat. I said, I've put this ball through me window. And he said to me, well, what size is it? And so when I mentioned it, it's like about 10 foot by 5 foot, you get that. Ooh. He said, oh, no. He said, cool, that's not standard size, boy. He said, that'll be expensive. That'll cost you a few, Bob. He said, are you insured? So I said, I don't know. I said, I can't see an insurance company paying out for me being so stupid. He said, well, can't you tell them that, you know, you just come in, you found it smashed, Kiss must have thrown a stone at it or something, you know? Now, I'm not perfect by any stretch of imagination, but I do try to be a man of integrity. And I thought, well, I can't really lie to the insurance company about this. Anyway, soon afterwards, Maggie came home from work, and as she came in our lounge, I sort of met her there, and she could see that smoke was still coming out of my ears, and I was sort of anxious. I said, what's the matter with you? I said, I don't believe what I've just done. I said, I've been so stupid. I said, I'm such an idiot. She said, what have you done? I said, you ain't going to believe me. She said, well, tell me, what have you done? Show me what you've done. So I took her into the kitchen. Of course, there is this big, massive window in shatters. And do you know what? She just came over to me, gave me a big hug and a kiss. And she said, well, you probably learnt your lesson. You'll never do that again, will you? Well, today I haven't. But there you go. She wasn't angry with me. You know, she forgave me. Anyway, the next morning I thought, right, I better phone up the insurance company. So I sorted out my policy. I phoned up the insurance company and a young girl answered the phone. And I said, I feel a bit silly about this. She said, well, what's the problem? I said, well, I'm out in the garden. I said, I'm just starting to learn golf. And she said, oh, stop there. She said, I know what you've done. I thought, well, that's clever. Was she clairvoyant? She said, I bet you put a ball through your window. I said, yeah, do you know? She said, well, you won't be the first and you won't be the last. She said, and we will cover the cost. Now, that's a true story. But it's a wonderful illustration of God's love and forgiveness for us. Because all of us in this room, all of us, have done something or said something absolutely stupid, reckless, something we regretted afterwards. And yet God still forgives us. He still loves us. And like Maggie came out and gave me a big hug. I know us men don't like talking about such things, but God still loves us. He wants to hug us, even though we've been stupid. I think that's a good illustration of God's love and forgiveness for all of us. And it's available for all of us. Carrying on from there, now, although in the past, working as both an ambulance man and as a policeman, I've witnessed many tragic things. One reason I was an atheist for so long. I want to tell you about my friend and ex-colleague, Steve died recently at 55 years of age after battling a brain tumour. When I worked with him many years ago, before I retired, we often talked about our faith. Though, although he was a Catholic and I an Anglican, although I hadn't seen much of him in the last 18 years, I had the privilege to visit him twice at hospice where he spent the last days of his life. The first time, although surrounded by non-believers around his bed, including his wife, he insisted on taking communion. On the second and my last visit, as I was about to leave, he held my hand and I said, Steve, hold on to your faith. You will be okay. Although unable to speak too much, his smile made me realise how much his faith had and would see him through his premature death. And it also reminded me that we have a faith that's worth holding on in a time of crisis, and a faith we must share with others. Now, as I go out to play golf, although I want to do well, I thank God for his grace and mercy that I'm still able to be out there on the course, even if I play bad most of the time. Anyway, have a blessed day and hopefully a good round, but not too good, as I really would like to win another trophy. Thank you.